Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2019. I'm very sorry, I apologize for last week's introduction. It was an okay introduction, except for the fact that I was introducing an episode and saying that one of the important parts of the early part of the episode was that Lee Quince, the character played by Raymond Burr, was not in uniform, and that was important to the scene. I didn't know if they made that clear. I've listened to it again. They do make it pretty clear. So, but anyway. But then you were listening to the episode and going, wait a minute, this is the wrong episode. And it was. So what I did was I played the first episode, the pilot, that starred John Daner 2 weeks ago. And that episode was great, but it's listed as episode zero. This episode is episode one. The last week I was grabbing the episode and I said, oh, I got to grab this second episode. So I grabbed episode two, not realizing it started with episode zero. So we had zero, then one, which we're playing now, and two, which you played last week. So they don't really need to play it in total order, but I am sorry for playing them out of order. Anyway, I hope you're going to enjoy this episode with Raymond Burr on Fort Laramie. Just the sound quality of these is astounding. I mean, it's like some of the very best sounding episodes of anything I've ever heard for radio. And it's because it's in the waning days of radio. You know, I was thinking about this too. In the waning days of radio, there weren't many new concepts or new ideas floating out there, and people weren't putting a whole bunch of time and effort into creating new shows. But as far as the Westerns go, they just kept on putting out great Westerns and great ideas for Westerns. I wish this one would have come to television, but it's neat to hear a Western. It's all about the cavalry. Anyway, enjoy, and we'll see you next week for the true episode three, or the fourth episode in the series. Enjoy.
Fort Laramie. Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Sergeant Gorse, how are you?
Oh, it's sure good to see you, Captain. You look kind of funny, though.
What do you mean?
Well, them clothes, mufti. I ain't used to you out of uniform.
I'll be back in uniform at midnight tonight, Sergeant. We'll stay in town till then. And you can buy me a drink.
Me? I thought you was going to get rich in St. Louis.
Did I say that?
Well, you talked about nothing else before your leave come through.
Just proves you shouldn't believe everything you hear, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. I'll try to remember that.
See that you do. And to really fool you, I may go back to St. Louis.
Quit the army?
Man can make money there, Sergeant. I don't mean gambling. I mean honestly. In an honest business, buying things. selling them.
Well, sir, the Army's sure no place for a man who wants to get rich. I'll say that.
The Army's no place for a man who wants to do any living at all. You're either turning black with the boredom of garrison, or you're riding hell-bent into nowhere.
That's sure enough true, Captain.
Well, come on, let's get our drink. How's B Company, Sergeant?
Company's fine, sir. Major Daggett's going to be mighty glad to see you back at Fort Laramie.
He isn't going to see me till midnight.
He'll be waiting up. Send me into town to tell you.
Huh? Something wrong?
Yes, sir.
Well, what?
Arapahoes. They've been raiding for horses. Massacred a whole family over in the basin about 10 days ago.
You mean they jumped the reservation?
Not the whole tribe. Just a few of them, I guess. Mr. Seibert's took B Company out last week, but he didn't have any luck.
Why not?
I don't know, Captain. I wasn't with him.
What?
I've been on sick list till 2 days ago.
Sick list? You?
Yes, sir. Pack mule kicked me in the belly.
Oh. Well, a little whiskey will cure that, Sergeant. Well, here we are.
Mr. Seibert's is feeling mighty bad about it.
Your belly?
Like I said, it's good to have you back, Captain.
Bottle of rye and 2 glasses.
Coming up.
The Army. Hey, Moylan. Look at what came in.
What's his trouble?
8 soldiers, I guess. Like a lot of people. Since Richmond.
Yeah, too much war, maybe. I guess everybody'd like to forget it now.
We'd all like to forget it. There's a war still going on.
You're right, sir. Who do they think stands between them and all the hostiles out there waiting to hack them to pieces? Who does all their dirty work for them?
It isn't like people to be grateful for any favors, Sergeant.
No, sir, I guess not.
When I think of the troops aching for home while they sweat and freeze and spill their blood all over the frontier for 50 cents a day, it makes me mad.
Tell me about St. Louis, Captain.
Here's your liquor, gentlemen.
Hey, you! Hold it!
You know them, Sergeant?
No, sir.
What's your trouble, mister?
My name ain't mister. It's Rudio. I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to the soldier.
I'm with the soldier.
You stay out of this. You know what's good for you.
You tell him, Moylan.
What do you want from me? I never saw you before.
Yeah. You won't want to see us again after we're through with you.
What's this all about?
We don't like soldiers drinking where we drink, mister. We like to teach them a lesson now and then. Don't we, Moylan?
Yeah, we do it, too.
Now,
you
just
shut up, mister.
What's the matter with you? Coming in here with a soldier. Gonna drink with him, too.
Rudio, I just guess that he ain't no better than no soldier himself. Just scum floating with scum. That's what I call it. Well?
Okay. Sergeant Gorse?
Yes, sir.
You can have more than there.
Thank you, sir.
Move out.
I'll buy you that drink now, Captain Quince.
You can buy the first one, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
half an hour late, Captain Quince.
I was on the post at midnight, Major. I wanted to get back into uniform before reporting.
I'm glad of that, anyway.
I kind of figured you would be.
You still think I'm too Army, don't you, Lee?
We've known each other a long time, Major.
Since Vicksburg with Grant.
I remember a night in Chattanooga you weren't very Army. I've forgotten the girl's name, of course.
Captain Quince, I trust Sergeant Gorse told you about the Arapaho trouble.
Yeah. They're out raiding for horses. They've slaughtered a family over in the basin.
It's got to be stopped. Settlers are beginning to wonder what the 2nd Cavalry's doing at Fort Laramie.
If this goes on, there won't be any settlers.
Hard enough homesteading this country without a man waiting for him and his family to be massacred by renegade Indians.
I'll take a patrol out in a few days, have a look around.
You'll take B Company out tomorrow morning.
May I make a suggestion, Major Daggett?
If it's in order.
Lieutenant Syberts took B Company out and found nothing. Sure, he's green, but a few Arapaho can hide easy from a whole troop of cavalry beating its way through this country. Give me 12 men. I'll scout those Indians, get them set up. Then I'll come back for the company.
No. No, it's too slow. There isn't time.
Better let me try it, sir.
I said no, Captain.
You haven't got very far your way, Major.
You have your orders.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Captain.
Yes, sir.
I heard you and Sergeant Gorse were in a brawl earlier this evening in town.
Conduct unbecoming an officer.
You should learn to control your temper, Captain.
I wonder what family the Arapahoes are putting the knife to tonight, Major Daggett.
Should never start this sort of thing with you. Take your patrol.
Yes, sir. Any further orders?
May have Sergeant Gorse and Lieutenant Syberts, but no other officers or non-commissioned officers.
Right.
Pass your men through the main gates of the post half hour before reveille. Any questions?
No, sir.
Then move out.
There's a cabin just over this rise, Captain Quince.
Must be new, Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir, it is. A man and his family, he's raising horses.
A man's a fool. There's just as good land a day's ride from the fort.
You're right, sir.
Am I, Mr. Syberts?
Of course, sir.
What if the man likes it out here, away from people? That make him a fool?
No, sir.
Then I'm wrong.
I'm afraid I don't understand, sir.
You agree too easily, Mr. Syberts. Better learn to think for yourself.
Yes, sir.
Now, where's your cabin?
Well, you'll see it in a minute, sir. There it... No. Look, it's been burned.
Oop. Sergeant!
It's those Arapahoes again, Captain.
Yes, Captain.
Look down there, Sergeant. File the patrol out as scouts, Sergeant. 1,000 yards between men. If there's any Indians around, I want to know it. The men will watch us at the cabin for arm signals.
Right, sir.
And then join Mr. Syberts and me down there. Move out.
Yes, sir.
Follow me, Mr. Syberts.
Great.
Looks like they slaughtered every one of them.
Man. Woman. Young boy. This the whole family, Mr. Seibert's?
That's all of them, sir.
Thank God for that.
Every one of them scalped. Even the boy.
At least they weren't tortured.
No, sir.
Tell me, Mr. Seibert's, was the other family like this?
Why, yes, sir.
I see.
Made quite a mess, didn't he?
Take a good look, Sergeant. How many horses did this man have, Mr. Seibert's?
About 10, as I remember, sir.
Well, Sergeant?
Funny thing.
What is?
Well, Captain, I don't know how them Arapahoes could have surprised him so fast.
What makes you think they did?
Not many arrows around. If the man had had a chance to put up any fight at all, there'd be a lot of arrows.
Is that all?
Yes, sir.
You sure?
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Gorse, I excuse Mr. Seibert's because of his lack of experience. But you, you're a disgrace to the cavalry. Ought to clean your sleeve and send you back to stable detail.
Yes, sir.
Don't stand there, Gabin. Use your eyes.
I'm looking.
Look harder.
There ain't no tracks.
No tracks?
Somebody dragged him out with a blanket.
Somebody? Why do you say somebody, Sergeant?
I don't know, sir. There's something wrong here.
Look, how old's that boy, Sergeant?
Maybe 12, 13.
Old enough to be a brave in a couple of years if he was an Indian?
Yes, sir.
Don't Arapahoes usually keep a boy that age and try to make a warrior out of him?
They always do. Now, wait. Them tracks, they wouldn't hide their tracks.
No, they wouldn't.
Captain.
Yeah?
I know why you got so mad. I'm pretty mad myself.
Took you long enough. Mr. Seibert's.
Yes, sir?
A man wearing moccasins doesn't care about his tracks. He's got nothing to hide. Wasn't the Arapahoes did this. Wasn't Indians at all. It was white men.
Whose place is this, Captain?
Oh, Jake Steele and his wife. Their daughter lives with them.
Shouldn't their daughter live with them, sir?
Ollie's 19, going on 20. She had some schooling back east.
You mean she should be married now?
This country needs women, Mr. Seibert's, but it doesn't need single women.
Yes, sir.
Patrol! Hut! Mr. Seibert's.
Yes, sir?
Dismount and unsaddle. Dry the horses. Turn them into the corral yonder. Cache the saddles over in that brush so they can't be seen. All other equipment the men will keep.
Yes, sir.
Two men will stand by for escort duty. Move out.
Yes, sir.
Captain Quince, Miss Steele.
But, Captain, what are you and your troopers doing out here?
I'll tell you if you ask me in.
Oh, well, come in.
Where's your family?
Well, they rode over to the Abbott place.
That's a long ride.
Well, they're spending the night. They'll be back tomorrow. Why? Is there trouble?
No, not for you, Holly.
Then what are you doing here?
I came to borrow your ranch.
What?
I need it for a few days, maybe a week.
Now, Captain,
You and your folks can stay with the Abbotts for a while. I'll send for you when I'm through here.
You seem to have it all figured out.
I have.
Of course. Shall I leave right now, Captain Quince?
Sooner the better. I'm sending an escort with you.
Well, that's very kind of you.
I can spare a couple of troopers.
Then you'll move in here.
Sergeant Gorse and me.
Wouldn't you like for me to stay and cook for you?
No. You couldn't do that.
Why? Don't you think I'm a good cook?
Maybe when this is over, I'll ride back sometime and find out.
Captain Quince, just because you and I've met once or twice at Fort Laramie Dance...
Just a minute, Miss Holly. You don't understand.
Don't I?
I should have explained. There's going to be a fight here.
Fight?
I'm using this place for a trap, baiting it with a bunch of horses. And when the men I'm after come for them, well, we'll be waiting.
What men?
Men who've been stealing horses, murdering settler families, blaming it on the Arapahoes.
You mean it's white men who've been doing that?
I do.
Captain Quince, I'm beginning to understand that being in the cavalry, you're accustomed to ordering people around and not explaining anything.
I'm sorry, Holly. I upset you.
Now, if you'll wait outside while I get some things together, I'll ride up to the Abbotts with that escort you promised me.
Good.
Oh, Captain.
Yes?
I hope you have a chance someday to find out about my cooking. What I mean is, good luck.
Thank you, Holly.
Go on, get out of here now.
Well, it took me that long to do something, I'd get busted to a private.
You can still get busted, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Seibertz!
Right here, Captain.
You'll take over the patrol, Mr. Seibertz. I want you to spot the men in a complete circle around this place, half a mile out. They're to dig in. And when they think they're hidden, I'm going to ride that circle.
I understand, sir.
Heaven help any trooper I can see.
Yes, sir.
They're to let those men through. But when they hear gunfire from the cabin here, they're to kill anything that tries to get back out. Any questions?
No, sir.
Move out.
Yes, sir.
Well, Sergeant, you and I are going to be sitting on the pan of this trap.
Like poisoned meat, huh?
Maybe. Before we get off. You have to do that, Sergeant.
I didn't join the army to be locked up in this coop for 3 days.
Maybe you'd rather be sitting outside with the real men, half buried, afraid to move, with nothing but a canteen of water and a handful of jerky.
And no smokes.
And no smokes.
Captain Quince, I never had it so good, sir.
Then shut up. Dark out already?
Good. Ain't the kind of men who'd attack even a woman in the daylight.
No, I guess not. Gorse, you lied to me.
What?
No smokes. You tried to make me think you'd find it rough out there with the troopers because they can't smoke.
Well?
You never smoked in your life, you ape. Not with that quid of tobacco in your jaw day and night. What are you trying to give me?
You need action too, Captain. Bad as I do.
Yeah, I do.
3 days of this is worse than a winter in garrison. You go to St. Louis, I'm going with you. That easy money...
Shh, sounds... wait. Come here.
What is it?
Horses. Listen.
We got him, Captain. We got him.
Okay.
Move fast. Get out the back window. Come up the offside of the cabin. But don't shoot till I get at least one of them inside here.
Yes, sir. Good hunting, Captain.
Same to you, Sergeant.
Come on, open up. We want to have a little talk with you.
Look out, Jim. He'll have a gun.
Listen, mister. We ain't gonna hurt nobody. We got something to tell you is all.
Let's fix them and get out of here, Jim.
We're just passing by, mister. Got some news for you.
Maybe there ain't nobody home.
They wouldn't leave all them horses alone, would they? I'm coming in, mister. Don't shoot now. Have your daughter light the lamp, mister. Then we can talk.
Jim, what happened?
You're next, mister. You okay, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Well, we got two of them anyway.
I didn't realize there were more than that.
He was holding their horses.
Well, the troopers will take care of him. They deserve a little action, too.
They sure do. Who are they, do you know?
Strangers.
The one inside dead?
I didn't kill him.
But you took an awful chance, Captain.
It'll be worth it. Maybe we can find out what they did with all the horses they've stolen. Maybe we can take them back.
Yes, sir. But, well, there's two families won't never get theirs. Hear that, Captain?
Mission accomplished.
No more women and kids dying hard. Feels kind of good, don't it, Captain? Don't it?
Sergeant?
Yes, sir?
Feels a whole lot better than making money in St. Louis.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by John Meston, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Dan Riss, and Joyce McCluskey, with Lawrence Dobkin, Clayton Post, Paul Duboff, and James Nusser. Old Man Trouble takes it on the chin 5 nights a week when Bing begins to sing, which is just dandy for everybody else who's listening in. Since Old Man Trouble has no great charm to speak of, and since Bing Crosby has an ear for melody, a cheery disposition, and many other charms as well, folks naturally prefer to spend their time with Bing. For good company and easygoing songs, hear The Bing Crosby Show Monday through Friday nights over most of these same stations. Thank you.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Join us again next week for another transcribed story of the Northwest Frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed, thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Marshal, Chester.
Hi, Mr.
Hello, Jake. What brings you into town?
Marshal, are you interested in stopping a killing?
A killing?
One, maybe more.
What's the trouble, Jake?
Andy Bowers.
Emmett Bowers' kid?
He ain't a kid if he's old enough to be bullying around after my daughter.
Well, Judy's a pretty little thing. I can't say I blame Andy.
I told that boy, if he ever set foot on my place again, I'd shoot him.
And you would, huh?
I would.
Jake, you and Emmett Bowers are the two biggest cattlemen around here. Why do you have to be enemies? There's room for both of you.
There ain't enough room in the whole United States for me and Emmett Bowers.
All right, Jake. And I suppose you know what'll happen if you shoot Andy.
That's why I want you to put him in jail. Let him cool off for a while. He'll forget about Judy.
You think I'd put a man in jail just because you don't happen to like him, Jake?
I'm an important man in Kansas, Marshal, and I run things my way.
But you don't run the United States government, and you don't run me.
All right. I tried. Now it's going to happen, Marshal. It's going to happen fast.
You two loafers better get saddled up.
Your whittling days are over.
Now, what's Doc yammering about, Mr. Dillon?
I don't know, Chester.
Sitting here taking your ease in the sun while the whole country's gone to war. Why, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
What you been feeding on, Doc?
It isn't me, Chester. I just came back from Bauer's Ranch, Matt. The cook out there's got the ague again. And let me tell you, that place is an armed camp. Every man on it is carrying a rifle. They've got sentries posted and everything.
Now, does Emmett think Judy Worth is going to come over there and steal Andy?
No, but it seems like some of Jake Worth's men fired on a couple of Bauer's riders the other day. Said they were off their home ground or some such fool thing. And ever since, both sides have been fixing for battle. Oh, and it won't take much to start one either, Matt.
Yeah. Well, knowing Jake and Emmett, there's no point in my talking to them.
Yonder comes half the cause of the trouble right now.
What?
Yonder.
That's Andy Bars. Hey, Andy! Andy!
Oh, he's a nice boy, Andy.
Well, that little Judy Worth's a nice girl, too.
Hi, Doc.
Hello, Andy.
Andy, Doc tells me that there's a war about to break out over you and Judy Worth.
I know, Marshal. But I can't talk my paw into anything any more than Judy can hers. If her mothers were alive, it might be different. But the way it is, it's pretty hopeless.
What do you mean, hopeless?
Well, I guess I'd better stop trying to see her, that's all.
Oh, that's a fine way to talk.
Well, I don't want to, Doc.
Then where's your spunk, boy? Where's your get up and go? Don't you love the girl?
Of course I love her.
But you're going to let a couple of cantankerous, selfish old men beat you out of her.
Doc.
Why, you don't deserve her. What she needs is a man, not a whimpering kid who turns back at the first sign of a little rain.
Doc.
Well, it's true, Matt, and you know it.
But they'll never let us get married, Doc.
What have they got to do with it? It isn't them who's getting married.
I know. Well, I've thought of running off. I never said nothing to Judy about it, though.
Don't talk about it, act.
Doc.
If she won't go with you, then she doesn't love you as much as you think she does.
Well, maybe you're right. What do you think, Marshal?
It's not for me to decide, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's my business. Mine and Judy's.
Yes.
I better get going now. Goodbye.
Goodbye, bye, boy.
Now, Doc, you did a real good job.
Yeah. You think he'll do it?
I don't know. But if he does, there'll be war sure. And I know a broken-down, romantic old country croaker we can blame it on.
Oh, fiddle-faddle. You want those kids to get married just as much as I do. And anyway, it's time you started earning your pay around here. Well, I got things to do. Let me hear what happens, Matt.
Yeah, don't worry, Doc. You'll hear.
Packs more pleasure, packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure. Because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
The more perfectly packed your cigarette, the more taste and mildness are released for you. Chesterfield, made by exclusive Accuray, has an open, easy draw that unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobaccos. Now, Accuray ensures an even distribution of tobacco from one end of your Chesterfield to the other. Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. By Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Quiet night, ain't it, Mr. Dillon?
Nobody's lost his temper so far, Chester.
Mm.
Reckon you'll be needing me anymore?
No, I won't need you. You can go to bed.
Somebody sneaking in back.
Yeah. Get over on the other side of the room, Chester.
Yes, sir. Why, it's Andy Bowers.
Andy? Who's that in back of you?
Come on, Judy.
Hello, Marshal. Chester?
Well, I...
What are you two doing here?
I got word to Judy and she sneaked off and met me. Doc was right, Marshal. She wanted to go.
Of course I did.
Well, what did you come here for?
We're being followed, Marshal. We gotta hide somewhere.
You can't stay here, Andy.
I'll think of a way we can sneak out of Dodge, Marshal. But we can't do it tonight.
You say you're being followed, huh?
Yeah. Judy's pa and a couple of his men. We lost them a few miles back, but they're sure to ride on into Dodge.
Where'd you leave your horses?
Well, they're tied out and back. And I gotta do something with them.
Look, Andy. Your pa and Judy's are gonna start a war over this, and you're putting me right in the middle of it. Don't you realize that? Well?
I guess he's right, Andy. We can't get him mixed up in it.
But he's the only man around here we can trust.
I know, but it isn't fair to put all this on him.
Oh, maybe you're right, Judy. Come on. I'll think of something. But we better hurry before they catch us.
Wait a minute.
What, Marshal?
Chester.
Yes, sir?
You go with Andy. Take those horses down to Moss Grimmick stable and tell him to hide them.
Oh, well, Moss knows how to do that, Mr. Grimmick.
And put Andy up in the loft somewhere. Moss will understand.
All right, sir. Oh, what about Judy?
Now, you two get going. I'll take care of Judy.
Oh, he's going to help us, Andy. He's going to help us.
Yeah, I'm going to help you. But who's going to help me, I sure don't know. Ah, here we are, Judy. Doc. Hey, Doc.
Yes, Matt. Let her do it.
Come out here a minute, will you?
I was just mixing a little something out here. Well, hello, Judy.
Hello, Doc.
Look, Doc, I was wondering if Judy could stay here until she and Andy can get on out of town. I'm sure it'll surprise you, but they're running away.
They're running away? Oh, no. They are? Oh, well, isn't that wonderful?
Yes, and we're going to make it, too, in spite of our fathers.
You sure are. And you're welcome to stay right here as long as you want, Judy. Nobody will look for you here.
Oh, that's real kind of you, Doc.
Oh, no. It's just that I like the idea of people who want to get married just as much as you and Andy do.
Yeah. Well, I better get going. Now, you stay here, Judy, until you hear from me. You understand?
All right, Marshal.
Yes. I think I'll go with you, Matt. And now you can make yourself comfortable, Judy. And I'll be back in a couple of hours, and I'll bring you something to eat, huh? How's that?
I'll be waiting for you, Doc, and thank you.
Oh, you're a nice girl. Come on, Matt. Well, Matt?
Doc, I know how, but I don't know why I got mixed up in this. But I'm sure in it now.
Yeah, come on into Long Branch, Matt. You need a drink.
Yeah, maybe I do, Doc.
Say, look, Matt. It's Jake Worth.
Yeah.
Who's that with him?
His name's Ab Drain, Doc.
Ab Drain?
Yeah, Jake's hired himself a gunman. And a pretty good one, too.
Uh-oh. They've seen you.
Yeah, you stay out of the way, huh?
Don't worry.
Thank you. Well, I haven't seen you in a long time, Ab. Cheyenne, wasn't it?
Me and Jake have been looking for you, Marshal.
Oh, is that so?
Where's Judy?
Judy?
Now, don't lie to me, Marshal. You know where she is. You're going to tell me?
Is that what Ab's for, Jake? So you can push people around more than ever?
Never mind him.
I never have. Have I, Ab?
You'll get it someday, Marshal. Maybe I'm the one who'll give it to you.
Shut up, Ab. I don't want no fighting now.
Why do you think I might know where Judy is, Jake?
She was in your office, wasn't she?
What?
One of my men here in town saw her and that rotten Bowers kid ride around back of your office. Now, where is she?
All right, Jake, they were in my office, yeah.
Keep talking, Marshal.
Jake told you to shut up, Ab. Now, I'm telling you.
Never mind that. Where is she?
Jake, why don't you and Emmett Bowers call this off before there's a lot of useless bloodshed? Neither one of you can win anything this way.
I ain't even listening to you, Marshal.
All right, then go on home. And take Ab Drain with you.
Who do you think you're talking to, Marshal?
You can't bluff me, Ab. You know that. Now, you get moving.
I ain't bluffing, Marshal.
Stop it. I don't want no fighting. Not yet. But I'm telling you this, Marshal. I'm going back to the ranch. And Judy's there in 2 hours, or I'm coming in here with every man I've got. And you know what I'll do.
Don't be a fool, Jake.
Let's go, Ab.
Hey, they look mad, Matt.
They're coming back in 2 hours, Doc, with an army.
Oh, no. Well, what are you going to do?
I'm going to get Jim Buck out of bed. He's driving an empty stage west tomorrow morning anyway, and he can leave tonight. And the preacher can tie a horse on behind long enough to get Judy and Andy married.
While you stay behind to take on Jake's army. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it, Doc.
More pleasure packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
The more perfectly packed your cigarette, the more taste and mildness are released for you. Chesterfield, made by exclusive Accuray, has an open, easy draw that unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobaccos. Now, Accuray ensures an even distribution of tobacco from one end of your Chesterfield to the other. Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. By Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Less than an hour later, Jim Buck quietly drove his stage out of Dodge. A couple of miles down the trail, he stopped long enough to witness the marriage of Judy Worth and Andy Bowers. And then he headed west as fast as his team could travel. 6 hours later, I was sitting in the front room at Jake Worth's ranch house, stalling for time. As I had been ever since I got there.
I'm getting tired of this, Marshal.
They'll be here any minute now, Jake. Just be patient.
I think he's lying to us, Jake.
Will you quit poking and hollering at me?
Oh, here they are.
You men stay outside and close that door. Bring her in here, Chester. Where is Judy? Where is she?
I wouldn't know where she is, Mr. Worth.
What? What are you saying?
I'm saying the truth.
Marshal, is this a trick?
Yeah, Jake, it's a trick. Judy's a long way from here by now, and you'll never find her.
Tell me where she is. Tell me, or by heaven, I'll kill you.
I'm like Chester, Jake. I wouldn't know where she is.
You lied to me. You said Chester was bringing her.
Yeah, I lied to you, Jake.
Marshal, so help
me. Wait a minute, Jake.
This is my job.
Just get out of the way, Ab.
Nah. You couldn't take him.
Don't you try it, Ab.
Watch me.
Now don't make me kill you, Jake.
No. It's too late anyway. Judy is gone. It's too late for anything.
Mr. Worth?
Get out of here. I'll call you when I want you. Just get out.
Where's he going?
Wait here a minute, Joseph.
Yes, sir.
This must be Judy's room, huh, Jake?
I'll keep it for her. Like this. Maybe she'll come back someday.
She won't be back, Jake.
Don't say that.
It's true. You might as well face it. And you drove her away.
No.
You and Emmett Bowers both. If you'd once thought of Andy and Judy instead of yourselves, they'd be here now. I don't blame them for running off. They wouldn't be any good if they hadn't.
You helped
them. Why should they give up their happiness for a couple of mean, selfish old men? Sure, I helped them. You and Emmett have been too busy hating each other to be of any use to anybody, especially your own kids.
Marshal, I...
I'm going to tell you one thing, Jake. They're married now.
Married?
That's right. Now I'm going over and tell Emmett Bowers about it.
No, wait, Marshal.
Yeah, what?
You think it might help if maybe I rode over to Emmett's with you?
It might help you and Emmett, Jake. And it might help the kids, too, when they hear about it.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Chesterfield, made by exclusive Accuray, packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobaccos.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Firm and pleasing to the lips, Chesterfield. Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
You know, a newcomer to the West was often referred to as a pilgrim and made fun of. But next week, a pilgrim nearly causes a wholesale massacre. And that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Sam Edwards, John Daner, James Nusser, and Joyce McCluskey. Harley Bear is Chester, and Howard McNear is Doc.
Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red letter day, change to L&M today.
L&M, so good to your taste.
So quick on the draw.
Get L&M today.
L&M filters. So good to your taste. So quick on the draw. Relax with L&M, America's best filter cigarette. Be sure and listen to another transcribed story of the Old West on Gunsmoke.